Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding third quarter trading update conference call. Today's speaker will be Mr. Emri Zeine, CEO, and Ms. Fahida Ilder, CFO. I will now hand over to your host, Emri Zeine. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you for participating. I will now go over the KPIs and the financial and operational highlights. I will give it to Fahida, our CFO, to talk about our balance sheet shortly, and then we'll be ready for your questions. So the third quarter has been quite strong in terms of volume KPIs, both on the cruise segment and the commercial side. When we look at, for example, the passenger numbers, we see 16% growth in Q3, which gives us 15% growth on the year overall, the first 9 months. This growth represents 3% organic growth, including Turkey. Unfortunately, the negative passenger growth trend in the Turkish cruise ports still continues. If we were to exclude the Turkish ports and just look at the rest, it actually corresponds to 10% growth in all the ports that we consolidate. And if we were to take into account Lisbon, Venice, and Singapore, it actually corresponds to 15% growth. So I'm very happy with the passenger growth numbers. That basically points out to organic growth potential for us on the cruise side. On the commercial side, we are seeing 12% growth in bulk cargo and 5% growth in containers, which altogether gives us around 9% growth for the year and 12.6% growth for the year for the container side. The first figure I gave was for general bulk cargo. As I highlighted, the weakness in Turkish ports actually affects the revenues because those happen to be very profitable and high revenue per passenger ports. So, the numbers in Q3 helped us actually recover some of what we have seen in H1, and now we are seeing 1.6% growth in revenue, which translates to 6.7% in segmental EBITDA, and better yet, our consolidated EBITDA is over 10% growth in Q3, which basically gives us flat year-on-year growth numbers for the first 9 months. When we look at the profit and loss for the period, it's 2.5 million for the first 9 months, and it's 9.2 million for the quarter, basically, helping us recover from the loss of the first two quarters. You have to take into account that this number includes $23 million of port operation rights that has been depreciated. This is a non-cash item. So when we look at our operating cash, we see a strong $33 million in the first 9 months. Looking at the outlook and current trading, we are pleased to see that in Q4 we are continuing with basically the same trends on the cruise side. One thing to add is that Barcelona has not been affected by the latest developments there with Catalonia developments and with the terrorist attack in Barcelona. So that's a good thing. And European ports are doing well. There are two things that we have to take into account, two effects. That's may impact the group's full year 2017 results. One of them, as I mentioned in the previous call, this year has been uncharacteristically weak in terms of what we call project cargo on the commercial side. Port Adria has still not realized any revenue from the project cargo contracts that we have. And these are less predictable by nature anyway. But unless they are, or at least, a number of them are realized in Q4, that could have an impact of up to $1.3 million in EBITDA. And secondly, with respect to Dubrovnik, I have reported that in June there were local elections and a new local government has been elected. And they have, in fact, requested some amendments to the project, requested that we consider taking in local partners to the management of the port, and we have accommodated all of those requests. But to our dismay and surprise, the government still has not signed the final concession agreement, which puts us in a what they call an amicable resolution period. According to the rules, this period has to be at least 40 days. It can be longer, of course. And we already had a couple meetings with the local government and with the authorities. And we are doing our best to reach a resolution. However, at this point, I think it would be prudent to report that we may not close the project in 2017, nevertheless we're working on the project still. At the same time, on the kind of opposite end of the scale, we are tomorrow we are opening the new terminal in Lisbon. Great relations there with the local government and with the central government. The Prime Minister is coming to the inauguration of the new terminal, and that the new terminal and Lisbon Cruise Port is expected to have a positive impact in terms of both passenger numbers and revenues, ancillary revenues as well. Another thing that I think is positive is that there's finally a move towards a solution in Venice. The news were basically taken from a negative point of view by the press, and they said, the headlines read restriction to big ships in Venice, but, this was a self-imposed restriction anyway, so the big ships were not going to Venice. But now there's a common understanding about a solution for big ships, and that would involve building a new terminal in a new port on the other side of the channel in the Laguna, and basically taking passengers to Venice with ferry boats, and I think that's actually positive news, and that could have a positive effect in Venice's numbers in the future, but not in the short term. I think I would like to conclude my summary by talking about the other projects in the plan. Our efforts are ongoing in the Caribbean. There are positive developments which we will report as soon as it becomes there's a closure, and as soon as we can report the finalization of any of those projects. So with that, I want to give it to Ferda to give us the picture on balance sheet and in terms of our debt position. Ferda?
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Let's go over some balance sheet items. Net debt to EBITDA for the global Liman Ayşe as a date of Q3 was realized $281 million US dollar. It was 283 for the year end. Consolidated leverage ratio for the global Liman Eurobond is 4.88 times versus covenant is the 5 times. Our expectation it will be 4.8 times for the year end. As you know very well, 4.6 times at the year end. As you know very well, gross debt calculation of the IFRS calculation also cover the accumulated interest. So November and December for the group interest payment period. We will pay the loans and our project loans and Eurobond interest in the debt period. So the gross debt to EBITDA leverage will decrease for the year end. Capital expenditure was realized 12.24 million in this period. Considering the previous year's numbers, it is slightly higher than the previous year's. What is the reason of behind that? If you ask that, what is the reason behind that? We have two main reasons. One of them is the Port of Adria equipment investment, the crane boat for the Port of Adria, one crane. And another reason is the renovation of the Egeport shopping mall complex. For the next year expectations will be the same level with the previous years. It means maintenance capex requirement for the group will be four and 6 million level. So it's the small summary for the balances item for the global Liman Ayşe.
Okay, thank you very much, Ferda. So with that, I think we can get any questions you might have, and we'll try to answer them.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from Payal Rani from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. First is on the cash balance. You ended the quarter with a very strong cash balance of around $63 million at the bond issuer level. I just wanted to know what would you be using this excess cash for, and how much minimum cash do you expect to keep on balance sheet? Another question is on the FX. Will the result significantly benefit from Turkish lira weakening going forward? And the other question is on the dividends. If I'm right, you paid around 17.5 million interim dividend at GPH level. What's the outlook for the final dividend and the dividend for 2018? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for the questions. I think I will just make a comment on the FX impact. And as for the cash position, and cash usage and the dividend, I will give the word to Ferda to answer those questions. So our cash position is quite balanced. As you know, we charge in euros in the eurozone and in dollars elsewhere. Well, in Singapore we have Singapore dollars, but that's also very close to US dollars. And we have local currency costs. this is benefiting us, as you rightly put, in countries like Turkey. And since we have a big operation there in terms of the commercial port in Antalya, any devaluation in the currency, any weakness in Turkish lira does have an impact, a positive impact in our profitability. Having said that, I think from now till the end of the year, we probably would not expect a huge impact to our profitability numbers, but nevertheless there will be a positive impact if this trend continues. I don't know, Ferda, if you have anything to add to the FX question, please do so, and then could you please answer the two other questions?
FX question, done. Thank you, Emre Bey. And the rest of it, yes, final interim dividend was 17.5 million US dollar. Our expectation, the full dividend will be approximately 35 million US dollar. 35 million US dollar. The usage of the global liman proceeds. We are planning to distribute some dividends for the GPH PLC level, and rest of it will be used supporting the new acquisitions and related capex requirements for the group.
Okay, just on the cash level. So, how much minimum cash do you expect to keep on balance sheet then? You would
for the year end.
Sorry.
How much?
For the year end.
For the year end.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Including the GPH PLC level, our expectation will be 235 million dollar level. $125 million US dollar.
Okay, that's at the year-end level. My question is, how much minimum cash you would be comfortable to keep at the on the balance sheet?
Well, if I may, the port system has minimal to no working capital requirements. We have no committed capex. So the company generates cash throughout the season, even in the low season Q1. So technically, we have also available banking lines, unsecured banking lines. So technically, there's no minimum requirement to withhold cash. But historically, have never gone down to single-digit million-dollar cash levels. There is no policy threshold as to maintain a minimum cash level. But the company is producing on an ongoing basis cash, hence has not had to, as I said, maintain a minimum cash balance.
Okay, thank you. Very much clear. Just a follow-up question on the dividend. So you said the final dividend outlook for this year is around 35 million. So this is at the bond issuer
level
or at
PLC level?
PLC. So would there be any dividend at the global Lehman level?
It will be in line with bond covenants. We don't have a policy at the Lehman level, so the main limitation is in line with bond covenants, and that will be the dividend distributed this year. So yes, more likely whether this year or next year, but there will be ongoing dividend distributions from Global Lehman, as I said, always in line with the bond covenants, of course.
Okay, got it. I have a few more other questions, but I'll let my colleagues to participate in, and then maybe I'll step in later. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we've got further questions. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a follow-up question from Payal Rani from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm back again. Just a good question on your M&A strategy. It would be great if you can give us some update or your progress on that front.
Sure. So you want a general update on the M&A strategy?
How advanced are you with the M&A strategy? With your
okay.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, our strategy is to further diversify, and we think that diversification has helped us go through this period, especially a difficult period for Turkey. As you can imagine, it has helped us that we are diversified in the Mediterranean. But we will be even more robust as a company if we are further diversified into new regions such as the Caribbean and Asia, considering the growth potential of Asia. And we have a number of projects in each region. Our focus right now is the Caribbean. So those are the, both the projects that we focus on, and they also happen to be more, the prices tend to be higher in the Caribbean, and the traffic is higher. So they are, good-sized, lucrative projects for us. In a number of projects in the Caribbean, we are, I would say, quite advanced. In fact, one of them, I think we can close, in the short term, and the other one, one or two projects, I would say, short to midterm, it seems we will be able to announce something there. Having said that, we are working on simultaneously on 6-7 other projects across the globe. Some of them in the Med, some of them in Northern Europe, some of them in Americas, a couple more in the Caribbean.
Okay, thank you very much. And just the last question, it would be helpful if you give us a bit more insight on your commercial segment size. I know the performance improved a lot, but we just wanted to know how sustainable it is. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Last year we the Chinese investigation into marble imports into China gave us a scare for a while, and we had estimated that was over by the end of the year, and that numbers would recover, and that there would be single-digit growth. That's exactly what we are seeing. In fact, up to now, there's double-digit growth in marble exports and the TU numbers of Antalya Port. I think, again, I'm not changing my estimate. Single-digit growth is sustainable. We are also pleased to see that our estimations about the growth, the pickup of the cement business in Antalya has also come true. And that's why we are seeing high growth number, double-digit growth number in the bulk cargo side in Antalya. And also, we were talking about steel exports out of Serbian steel factories, steel coil. And that is also helping the bulk cargo numbers in Adria a little bit in the last quarter especially. And Adria is doing well in terms of growing its container business, getting new customers. And one good thing is Adria is more diverse in terms of the product portfolio. So we're getting all sorts of, different product lines, some semi-finished, some bulk, some containerized. As I always say, we are at the beginning of the road in Adria, and there's a lot more space to distance to cover. So all in all, I'm happy with the performance on the commercial side. I think we will be able to grow the business further in the upcoming years.
Okay, got it. Very helpful. Thank you for answering these questions. Thanks.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Sergio Calci from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I was just wondering if you could give me the net leverage number that, for the third quarter and also where you expect it to be by the year end.
Net leverage numbers, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Our finance team should answer
yes,
this.
Sorry. Net leverage ratio is 3.7 times. Our expectation it will be a same level for the year end. For the global, I'm talking about the global demand Ayşe net leverage. But PLC level, it was 3 times. Will be same level at the year end.
Okay, so where is the increase in leverage? You said gross leverage was going to go up, right? By the end of the year, why does gross go up and net stays flat?
No.
Or did I misunderstand?
I
I'm not sure if I misheard that.
That's misunderstanding. Gross leverage will decrease for the year end for the payment of the interest.
Okay. So where does gross go to?
I think she said from 4.8 to 4.6.
4.6.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you all for participating and for the questions. In summary, a good quarter in terms of performance. Volumes for the year are encouraging, and the Turkish weakness unfortunately continues. So that is impacting our bottom line. But we all feel that in the coming quarters and months, we will have recovery. In the coming quarters and years, we'll have recovery in Turkey, and with the growth coming from the European ports, Singapore, the commercial business, the business will be more diversified, and hopefully with the addition of new ports coming from Caribbean and elsewhere, our growth strategy and diversification strategy is intact, and I am optimistic about the future. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.